Let's begin. The people who walk in darkness. That's us. We have seen deep darkness in the world around us. So we have come to search for the light. We want the light to shine on us. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. A child is born for us. A son is given to all of us. We come to see the child that has been born. We come to gather in the glow of the stable. We come to sing with angels and wonder with shepherds. Come and worship. Worship the one who is born for us this day. Sing from your blue hymnals 212, O Come All Ye Faithful. 212, and we'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4. And I think we'll start with standing to sing. Have any announcements or sharing that needs to happen this morning? I want to give a little bit of space for that if there is anything. If not, let's pray together and bring our thoughts and feelings to God. Thank you, God, for giving yourself to the world, not in the powerful and extraordinary, but in weakness and in the familiar, in a baby. Thank you for offering at journey's end a new beginning. For setting in the poverty of a stable the richest jewel of your love. For revealing in a particular place your light for all nations. Thank you for bringing us to Bethlehem, where the empty are filled and the filled are emptied, where the poor find riches and the rich recognize their poverty, where all who kneel and hold out their hands are unstintingly fed. Amen. Let's sing another song. It's time from your Gesangbuch, number 519. 519.
Thank you.
morning, we will be hearing the story read as written by Walter Wangerin Jr., who I'm guessing most of you will have heard of at some time. He wrote The Ragman, which is also very popular. And just, it's a new way of hearing the story. I hope you will be invited into the story. You'll be invited to hear the story, and you will be also be invited to tell the story. As we go through the readings, I will also be reading some of his writing about how to tell the Christmas story and his encouragement to us to tell this story to our children, to our grandchildren, and I think to anybody who has not heard this story maybe as often as we have. Tell this story in a generous voice. Hush your voices when you enter its passages. Almost whisper. When you speak of loving, seem to love. Describing sorrow, be sad. Let fear come through a harried voice, and gladness come with laughter, and triumph sound like exultation. Half of the life of the story is the story's teller. Your voice and face and body give it form. It is you whom the children hear and see. They will not distinguish. It is you who will love or not, and so the story will love or not. If you do not tell it at all, it isn't. It doesn't exist for them. So tell it. Do not neglect it, but tell it.
Once upon a time the world was dark, and the lands where the people lived was deep in darkness. It was as dark as the night in the daytime. It had been dark for so long that the people had forgotten what the light was like. This is what they did. They lit small candles for themselves and pretended it was day. But the world was a gloomy place, and the people who walked in darkness were lonelier than they knew, and the lonely people were sadder than they could say. But God was in love with the world. God looked down from heaven and saw that the earth was stuck like a clock at midnight. No, he said, this isn't good. It's time to make time tick again. Time, time, said the mighty God, to turn the earth from night to morning. And God was in love with the people especially. He saw their little candlelight, and he pitied their pretending. They think they see, he said, but all they see is shadow, and people are frightened by shadows. Poor people, he said. They wonder why they're afraid. God watched the people move about like fireflies in the night, and he shook his head. Poor people pretending to be happy, he said. Well, I want them to be happy. It's time, declared the Lord our God. It's time to do a new thing.
In your blue hymnals, number 176.
Thank you.
parents, if you haven't already told your children the story, who has? What sort of Gabriel brought it to them? Don't you know that the teller shapes the tale? Grandparents, are you satisfied to let mumbling rumor garble this marvelous story for your grandchildren? Should they piece it together themselves? From Christmas music on the radio and Christmas specials on TV? The true meaning of Christmas? Fathers, make a holy time in which nothing distracts you and nothing delights your children except the story. Mothers, prepare a holy space in the corner of your home. Time and space will prove the story important. Grandma, Grandpa, present a holy attitude. You reach to an ancient bedrock for this story. Both the age in your face and the love in your eye will convince the child of that and of its truth. Then, tell the story whole, beginning to end, all of a piece and seamless. Say, child, I want to tell you a story, beautiful and true. It actually happened. It happened for you. Say, once upon a time, the angel Gabriel was sent from God.
So there was an angel flying through the night. So swiftly he flew that nobody noticed. Across the continent, the angel went to a particular province named Galilee, to a city named Nazareth, and then in that city to one particular house, to one particular woman sleeping in that house. Her name was Mary. She was young and blameless and lovely in her bed, as innocent as a lily. Her lashes were long and black. She was a virgin, but she dreamed of a man named Joseph, because they were betrothed and would marry in 4 months' time. She was smiling in her sleep. The angel Gabriel appeared at Mary's bedside and began to grow bright. Light beamed in her bedroom, so Mary frowned a little. She turned in her sleep and she sighed. Brighter and brighter grew the angel until he blazed like the sun. "Hail," he said. But the angel's voice was like thunder. Poor Mary awoke with a terrible start. Her eyes flew open and she saw the brilliant light beside her, and she heard the glorious greeting in her ears, and she caught her breath because she was afraid.
Do you see? The reason why the story must be told by a human mouth to human ears with human faith and affection is that a story is always more than information that some poor kid must labor to understand. A story is a world, both radiant and real, a world into which the child is invited and she enters. And it is the telling of the tale that causes this world to be. The telling encourages the child to believe its being. The telling calls him into it so that he more than knows, he actually experiences. In the instant that the child imagines the light that Mary sees and cares for Mary and fears with her, in that same instant, your child has entered the world where God is unveiled, bright and present and active and loving. And which of these worlds is real? Both. But the latter gives meaning to the former. The latter is revelation. The child must be enchanted, and the story must continue to be told.
When the angel said, "Hail," in the middle of the night, poor Mary jumped and covered her mouth and could not talk. She was afraid. God in heaven whispered, "Hurry, Gabriel, comfort the woman." So the angel said, "Hush, Mary." The angel softened his glorious voice. "Mary, hush. The dear God loves you, don't you know? God favors you, and the Lord is with me, with you, rather. God favors me? Mary was trembling. Her mind was racing in the unnatural light. The greeting of the angel troubled her. What does it mean? What is he saying? She thought. Why would an angel come to me? Mary, do not be afraid, said the angel, still more gently. So Mary grew calmer, her mind grew quiet. She began to listen. Behold, said the angel, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus. A baby, thought Mary? A baby? Quickly, Gabriel, said God in heaven, tell her quickly what this means. And quickly the angel stopped speaking and started to sing. So marvelous was the meaning of this baby that it wanted a song for the telling. Mary, sang the angel, Mary, the child of thy labor shall be great, the son of the Most High shall he be called, and God shall give him the throne of his father David, over the house of Jacob shall he reign, forever and ever his kingdom shall have no end. A baby, thought Mary in spite of the music. How dear was the promise, but there was a problem she couldn't ignore. Mary astonished herself. She actually spoke to the angel. How can this be? She blurted. And the angel stopped singing, and God in heaven began to smile. Well, maybe the angels don't understand the nature of human bodies. Some things had to happen first for other things to happen second. How can this be? Said Mary meekly in her bed. I'm not married, you see. I don't have a husband yet. That was the problem. Not the greatness of the baby, not his kingship, not that the kingdom would last forever, but that the baby needed, first, a father. There came a strange sound in Mary's bedroom then. It was like an angel chuckling, for the thing that he was telling Mary was a miracle, after all. With God, the angel assured her, nothing will be impossible. So Mary, kneeling on her bed, whispered, Behold, she said, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it unto me according to your word. Which word was, Mary is going to have a baby. Yes. So the angel was done, and he dimmed, and the bright light faded from her bedroom. Gabriel vanished altogether, but Mary didn't mind the darkness now. A baby. Oh, she jumped from her bed, and the giggles tickled her throat. The Virgin was laughing now, for the Virgin was going to have a baby. So now there was a blameless, beautiful woman running through the world, the dark world, as fast as she could go, to her friend, her cousin, Elizabeth. And just as the angel had sung his celestial song for her, she sang a song for Elizabeth. O my soul, sang Mary, O cousin, my soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit rejoiceth in God my Savior. He is keeping his promise to us, Elizabeth. I'm going to have a baby. So then, in the middle of the gloomy world, there were two women laughing. They laughed till they couldn't laugh any more, and then they began to weep for gladness. And God looked down from heaven and saw them, and the Lord God smiled.
Again, in your blue hymnals, number 180, 180. And let's stand again, if you're able.
Thank you.
This is the reason why you are telling your child the story, why you are weaving its marvelous world around her, because of love. It isn't enough just to say it. That piece of knowledge fits like a stone in the pocket, but not in the heart. It's necessary that he should be loved, that she dwell within the light of that love, that he breathe love and laugh love and sleep in its sweet dominion, and so experience its security, its peace, and so believe in love. This is not a matter of the intellect, that she should think about it. This is a matter of the heart. It isn't explained, it happens. This is not a lesson to be learned. This is an event. And Jesus, whose story this is, encounters your child when she enters his story. But you, parents and grandparents, this is also the reason why you must tell the tale unto your children. For between you and the child already is trust, and sympathy, and a common memory, and mercy, and discipline together, and triumphs, and failures, and anger, and forgiveness. These are the threads of an active love. And when it is you who tell the story in your own voice to your own child, these also become the delicate threads that define and shape the story in her mind first, and then in his heart. They weave Jesus. You tell the story to your child then in order to deliver your child to God, that God should adopt her and keep her forever safe, because you love him, you see, but the baby isn't born yet. Sing on, sweet Gabriels, till the whole of the song is sung.
In those days, the dark world had some dark rules by which a man could put a woman away, and then it would be as if they had never been married at all. If a woman had a baby by someone besides her husband, then her husband could put the woman away. That was the rule. One night, Joseph lay in bed and thought about this rule. He said the words out loud. He said, "I will put her away." And he almost started to cry. Then God in heaven turned to his angel. "Gabriel," said God. The angel said, "What, Lord?" "Go down," said God. "Go down right now. Tell Joseph the truth. The man is blinded by the darkness. He thinks that Mary has committed a sin. Go, go." So a light grew bright in Joseph's sleep, and the brightness was a dream. But the light was the angel Gabriel, so close to the man that he shined inside his mind. "Joseph, son of David," said the angel. Joseph slept on, but Joseph heard and saw, and he remembered. And the more he heard, the happier he became, until there was a man in Nazareth who was smiling in his sleep. "Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary for your wife," said the angel. "The baby conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Mary didn't sin. Mary doesn't lie. Mary is going to have a baby boy, and you shall call him Jesus. And this is what his name means, that he will save the people from their sins. Listen, listen. Sin is the darkness of the world. This baby shall be its light, for he shall shine in the dark and take its sin away. Emmanuel is the infant that shall be born, which means God with us. Joseph, God is keeping his promises. Joseph, something wonderful is happening."
To us a child of hope is born, number 189, 189.
Thank you.
the hearing of this marvelous story, the child comes to know his Lord and his love. But in that relationship, she also comes to know herself. Who is born in the story? Jesus. But who is born in the telling of the story? Your child is reborn, for here he receives and is persuaded of a name, Beloved of God. And herein the children of God are shaped, and since it is God both shaping and empowering them, what then? Then theirs is the image of God again. The image broken in sin is renewed in the faces of the children. How could you not sit down and tell your children such a story? How could you justify neglecting it? For this is the gospel itself, which if they do not hear it, how can they believe? And telling it is nothing less than proclamation. So tell it with calm simplicity and a cosmic serenity, with faith. Tell it with a generous voice, especially this passage to come, as familiar to you as the rising of the sun. Hush your voice, almost whisper, for this is the fullness of time, the fullness of heavenly love for us, the birth.
Now it came to pass in those dark days that there went out a command from Caesar that all of the people should be counted. A census, he declared. Citizens, go to the cities of your ancestors to be counted according to families there. So people began to travel. So Joseph, too, obeyed the command. He and Mary traveled south together to the province named Judea, to a particular city of David called Bethlehem, but in that city to no particular house at all, for they had no house in Bethlehem. Joseph was a descendant of David, that's why he came to Bethlehem, but there were hundreds and hundreds of other descendants from David. The city was crowded with people, and that's why there were no houses nor rooms at all where Joseph could lay his Mary down to rest for a while and stay. Even the inn was full. But the night was dark and cold. The night was deep and lonely. And Mary was huge with her child and so tired. She wasn't grinning anymore, was Mary. She was groaning. Joseph, she whispered. It's time. Oh, Joseph, she said. The baby is coming. It's time. Mary, can you wait a little longer? No, she said. Mary, there's no place for us. But it's time, she said. So Joseph went running through the streets of the city. People were sleeping. Nobody noticed. Nobody answered his knocking. So this is all he could find. A stable where travelers tethered their beasts when they slept. A little shelter against the cold. Mary, he said when he led her there, do you mind? No, she said. Can you lie on the straw? It's time, she said, and knelt down. So there it was that she brought forth her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Let's stand and sing O Little Town of Bethlehem, number 191.
Thank you.
the beginning, before there was a world at all, God spoke. And this is the first thing ever the Lord God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Light was the first thing God created. And this, and all things, he made with his creating word, for he said it, and it was. In him was life, and the life was the light of every people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Nevertheless, there came an eon once upon a time in human history, when the world was dark, and the land where the people lived was deep in darkness, and the light of God was hidden. It was dark as the night in the daytime. It had been dark so long that the people had forgotten what the light was like. But God was in love with the people. Therefore God spoke again the second time. But the Lord God said what he had said in the beginning, before there was a world at all. He said, "Let there be light." And so the word came down into the world that the word himself had made. For the word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. We have beheld his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. This, dear parents, grandparents, is all that we have said, that every time you tell the story, the first light shines again. Your words give opportunity to the word, that the children might behold him. For to all who receive him, who believe in his name, he gives power to become the children of God. This is what we've said, no more than this. And so you shall, in faith, continue your own saying.
And there were shepherds in that same dark country, abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And God turned to his angel, and God said, "Gabriel." And the angel answered, "Yes, Lord." And the Lord God said, "Go down. All of the people must know what I am doing. Tired and lonely and scattered and scared, all of the people must hear it. Go, good Gabriel. Go down again. Go, tell a few to tell the others, till every child has heard it. Go." And so it was that the angel of the Lord appeared to the weary shepherds. Their dark was shattered, for the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." But the light was like a hard and holy wind, and the shepherds hid their faces with their arms. "Hush," said the angel, "hush, like the west wind. Shepherds, I bring you good news of great joy, and not only for you, but for all the people. Listen." So shepherds were squinting and blinking, and shepherds began to listen, but none of them had the courage to talk or answer a thing. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David," said the angel, "a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign for you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger." Suddenly the sky itself split open, and like the fall of a thousand stars, light poured down. There came with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, peace to the people with whom he is pleased." But hush, you shepherds, hush in your wonder, for the choral singing soon was ended, the hosts ascended, and the sky was closed again. And then there came a breeze, and a marvelous quiet, and the simple dark of the night. It was just that. No terror in that, then. It was only the night, no deeper gloom than evening.
for not all the light had gone back into heaven. The light of the world himself stayed down on earth and near you now. And you can talk now. Try your voices. Try to speak. God has given you generous voices, shepherds. Speak. So then, this is what the shepherds said to one another. Let us, they said, go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.
Number 197, Angels We Have Heard on High. I think we need to stand for this one as well. 197. Got up and ran as fast as they could to the city of Bethlehem, to a particular stable in that city, and in that stable they gazed on one particular baby laying in a manger. Then, in that moment, everything was fixed in a lambent memorial light. For there was the infant, just waking, just lifting his arms to the air and making sucking motions with his mouth. The holy child was hungry. And there was his mother, laying on the straw, as lovely as the lily, and listening to the noises of her child. Joseph, she murmured. And there was Joseph
as sturdy as a barn, just bending towards his Mary. "What?" he whispered. And the shepherd's eyes were shining for what they saw. Exactly as though it were morning and not the night, the shepherds went out into the city and began immediately to tell everyone what the angel had said about this child. They left a trail of startled people behind them as on they went, both glorifying and praising God. But Mary did not so much as rise that night. She received the baby from Joseph's hands, then placed him down at her breast while she lay on her side in the straw. With one arm, she cradled the infant against her body. On the other arm, bent at the elbow, she rested her head, and she gazed at her small son sucking. Mary lowered her long black lashes and watched him and loved him and murmured, "Jesus, Jesus," for the baby's name was Jesus. "Joseph?" she said without glancing up. And Joseph said, "What?" But Mary fell silent and said no more. She was keeping all these things, all that had happened between the darkness and the light, and pondering them in her heart.
Number 206, 206. People who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in deepest night are lit up with a brilliant sight. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The spread of his influence and of his peace will never end. Therefore go out into the world with great joy, and the grace of Bethlehem's matchless child, the love of the God who never ceases to amaze, and the fellowship of the Spirit who never wearies, will be with you this holy day and forevermore. Thanks be to God. We want to close our Christmas Day service, as we always do, with singing Der Friedensfürst. You have the words in an insert in your bulletin. I also have copies of the music. If anyone would like it, we can quickly run them down the aisle. We'll let Carol get up and get set on the organ, and then we will stand and sing together. And hopefully you're all okay with doing the repeats as well. That just makes it a little bit more fun. Let's all stand. Let's sing together.